Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate, a podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Hey everyone, welcome to the KP Podcast. I'm Pete here with Keith, and we are here, guys, with the first show of 2022 in season two. So welcome everybody.
Happy Keith, New
how's
Year,
it
guys.
Going, man? Yeah.
It's going good. What a crazy year we just finished up, and it's already 2022. I felt like 2021 may have been the most quickly disruptive year I think we've ever seen in many, many fashions. And so it just zoomed right by. And more than other years. And we usually always say that. You always say, man, where'd the year go? This one was awkward. That's probably the best word. It was an awkward year.
It was awkward because it did seem, and I'm sure people can relate to this, it seemed like it was somehow simultaneously both the longest year ever and the fastest. Yes. Like, I don't know how that happens. Like, you look back at certain things that seem like they were a lifetime ago. Yeah. And then you look back at other things, you're like, wow, that zipped by. And it was all in the same year. It was very, very awkward. So like you said, but we're in 2022 now and we are looking forward, and we're going to start off the year looking forward with our prediction show.
Yes.
But before we start looking forward, we've got to look back at what happened over the last year, and we're going to review and talk about what were our predictions a year ago. And one of the craziest years, I think anyone would agree, certainly in real estate, but definitely in the world, that we've seen. So, you know, how did our predictions stand up over the course of this last year? And what do we see going forward in this year? So from last year for 2021, and we'll do the same thing this year, we broke it into two categories of lock predictions for the year. Yes. And bold predictions for the year. So let's start off and review on some of these. So our 2021
locks.
So
Pete, you had said there will not be a housing crash this year. Well, this was one of those locks where we looked at each other, but which it sounds funny when you look at it.
You gotta remember, and this is exactly one of those things I'm talking about. Think about, you know, a year ago, we look back on that now and go, oh my God, that was crazy. Who would have thought there was a market crash coming? Well, in January of 2021, there was a lot of people in the media and out there in public talking about a potential crash.
High prices, this is getting crazy. Inventory's falling.
Stuff's still shut down. We've got people in the moratorium. Remember the whole talk? The moratoriums, we're going to see all COVID. These foreclosures, all this stuff's coming out. There was a lot of talk about that. We look back a year later, and we're like, that was crazy talk, right? Yeah. That was crazy talk. But back then, just 1 year ago, seems like forever ago now, there was people talking about a housing crash.
People balance fear with things they don't understand. So when things happen that we don't understand and we're unprepared, fear settles in. And that's kind of what it was. People were saying all this stuff, all these unknowns we got hit with in 2020, carried into 2021. And we were like, we don't know what to expect. Something's going to crash. And in reality, it didn't. And that was one of your locks. It came true. I mean, in the sense of the fact that it was a basic one, but a lot of things needed to have had to have happened in order for that to happen.
Correct. And it was something, like you said, that was on a lot of people's mind. We were hearing it from agents and clients and media. Is it going to crash? What's going to happen? So yeah, it was something that was out there for sure.
And then another prediction by you, Pete, for a lock, which we saw a trend heading that way and we didn't know exactly what it was going to look like, was the highest number of new housing starting since the Great Recession of 2008. Are we going to see the biggest push in new builds? And we knew that it was gradually getting bigger. Yep. We saw the inventory shortage. And again, that was true. Over 60,000 starts in Arizona.
Yep. So yeah, saw well over 60,000 last year in Arizona, which was the biggest number, you know, since the Great Recession. Now still didn't top, you know, some of those numbers that we saw in those years running up to it, you know, 04, 05, I think is probably where we saw, you know, the top there with those numbers hitting, yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head, probably 80, 90,000 starts. It's something like that. Yeah. And that's where we had that overbuild going into that, that caused that. But yeah, since those peaks, you know, it had been dropping for years, which is how we ended up in the predicament we're in today with this incredibly low inventory due to all this underbuilding. And so, yeah, you know, we saw it tick back up, you know, last couple of years, but certainly try to kick up a little bit more this year and or in 2021, I should say. And yeah, we saw the highest number of new housing starts since that great recession.
Do you remember off the top of your head what we finished out, what the highest number ever was, or in those years, those last 06?
Yeah, I think
those builds.
I don't remember the exact numbers, but I believe the highest new starts was in 2005, and I want to say it was probably somewhere around 90,000 or so.
Wow. So we tried to play a little catch up, but the difference was, is they were building that fast while we already still had supply and speculation of demand. Now we have no supply and they have to build that much or there will be no houses.
And just think about how much our population has grown in the last 15 years, you know? So you got, think about that, 15 years worth of population growth and underbuilding. So again,
severe
for people who are wondering why do we have all this shortage? This is why we have this shortage. We have 15 years of underbuilding. And in addition to that, we've got the other factors, like we said, migration coming in from other states, you know, that was exacerbated by COVID, millennials coming of age. These are people that weren't even the market a lot of times before. So we've got a lot more demand that's come into the market, a lot more people looking, population growth, and we've been underbuilding for 15 years.
So then I had my one luck, which just apparently I've been told off show they needed to be on the bold side of things. But hey, it is what it is. You know, I'm a little gutsier with my locks.
You got part of it right.
We're in there. I had said that millennials are going to make up a majority of the home purchases this year. My target number was 60%, but I was really aiming for that majority number. The majority, yes.
Yeah, it wasn't over. Biggest number.
They were the biggest number. So that theoretically was correct. However, it wasn't north of 50%. So that part was a little bit of the downside of that prediction. We finished with almost 40% of the market was millennials, which again is going to be a strong majority given that there's what, five generations alive or so? Four, five?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know off the top of my head, but yeah, somewhere in
there. We'd be targeting around 20% would be kind of the baseline to become majority. And we're sitting at around 40%. So that was correct. With over 50% of mortgage apps coming from millennials. So we see a lot of millennials wanting to buy and really trying to. But again, that also could mean they don't have the cash that some of the other generations have. So they don't need mortgages in those other gens.
Yeah.
So that being said, kind of correct. I get a half a point on that one and Pete gets to reign true, but I had a little more of the bold one. So
let's start off with your number one bold prediction from last year because you knocked that one out of the park, huh?
Yeah. So in all fairness, this should be worth 4 points because this is a big bad boy that I got made fun of. Go back and listen to the previous show.
Yeah.
I came out and I gave the biggest bold prediction outside of Jeff Bezos, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Biggest bold prediction of Gilbert appreciating over 20% in 2021. Now, we laugh at it now, but in reality, the year before, we were sitting at like 10, 11, 12, which was fantastic. See, like great appreciation rates in the East Valley.
This is what I'm talking about, though, where I say both the longest and the shortest year. It seems like a no-brainer when you look back, like, oh, yeah, of course. You know, we had, you know, 20, 30% appreciation all over the place. Well, again, in January of 2021, you had people talking about whether stuff was going to go down.
Yeah, they were worried that we might depreciate, and we're over here saying, no, guys, this is going to be one of our best years ever. Sure enough, it was. We didn't know how right we were until we really looked at the numbers at this last year, but Gilbert appreciated over 30%.
Yep.
Not 20, 30%. It more than doubled the appreciation rate from 2020 and 2021. It was crazy to have Gilbert appreciating year over year in the teens. Like we were sitting in the low teens and just ecstatic because that just meant a healthy market and a lot of success here in the East Valley and the whole Phoenix Metro. But to go 30% over is just crazy. It's not, Gilbert is not the only market to go north of 20%. Now that would have been even a bolder prediction to say multiple cities went over 20%.
Yep. A lot of cities,
pretty much the entire East Valley skyrocketed. So, yeah.
And not only here in Arizona, but obviously across the country,
yeah,
markets all over the country. I think the average, you know, this year was 19 or 20%, something crazy like that. But yeah, no, you nailed that one. That's for sure.
So now we're going to see a little bit of balance here, okay? And so, Pete, you had a pretty strong, bold prediction that we've pretty much almost never seen. And
never seen it.
You wanted yet. Sub. I guess it's still a yet. Sub 2% rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage. Yep, you were hoping for that baseline.
Yeah, why not? We gave it a shot, and we didn't quite make it. But I will say we got down to 2.7%, about 2.7% on the 30-year fixed. And that's the lowest we've ever seen. So we did hit all-time lows, all-time lows. Think about that. To put that in perspective, 2.7% is the all-time low on 30-year mortgage, and the official government inflation rate, official in air quotes for those of you just listening, was I think we're, you know, finished the year up around 7%. So I can borrow at 2.7 and you're telling me inflation is more than double that at 7%. So basically you're giving me free money.
Absolutely.
Not a bad deal.
So those of you guys that jumped into the market, purchased this last year in 2021, even seeing the price increases, seeing what was happening and seeing the low inventory and being told it's a seller's market. But when you have that clear sight and say, no, it doesn't matter. If I'm getting a 2.7% interest rate, I win just based on inflation, let alone the houses are continuing to appreciate. So congrats to you guys. Missed it just barely, Pete, but I mean, a strong, bold prediction. You were still close. Excited to see this year's as well. So that being said, I had another bold prediction that I missed the mark on. Not by much. And it was gutsy because we were already sitting at extremely low inventory. Mm-hmm. We were south of 6,000 listings. So my prediction was that we were not going to see north of 6,000 active listings throughout the year of 2021. We were predicting inventory to continue to have a shortage and to maintain that level. We finished the whole year, and we were like, right now we're sitting in between 6 and 8, somewhere in there, you know, throughout time, 7s. But I was right up until November?
I was going to say, you were probably right up until somewhere around September, October, November. Yeah, in there.
That third quarter, all of a sudden we saw a little bit of a pullback and gain some inventory, which I was like, dang it, man. But you expect it. Yeah. With appreciation rising that much and affordability being challenged that much, with interest rates also a little climb over the course of the year and not being 2.7, like they're not 2.7 right now. Mm-hmm. Like we've seen some of those things happen here in the fourth quarter. It was almost, you know, expectable to have those active listings climb a little bit. Like you said, we're barreling down the freeway.
Yeah.
We got to catch up a little bit, right?
Yeah. And we got to, you know, sub 5,000 at some point. And so, yeah, we were seeing it come down most of the year. And like I said, didn't get out. I think, you know, 7,000, just over 7,000 is probably where we topped out. And like you said, we're already back down now, that back down below 6,000 at this point, you know, mid-January already. So there was a little blip there. So you almost made it, a little blip, but we're back down.
So close. Stupid fourth quarter, you know? No, but it's exciting to see that impact. That's why you want to know the appreciation reason. That's a strong factor of it right there.
That's the factor. Yeah.
We have lowest inventory across the whole year than we've probably ever seen. So that's significant. Now, the next one was a little bit more painful to hear, but this
was for you. So we'll go through these last two quickly and get into the 2022 predictions. But special for Keith, we had that there was the possible trade talk with Russell Wilson. Where is he going to go? And my prediction was that he would get traded to the Denver Broncos. That didn't happen.
It didn't. It probably should have.
How did that work out for you this year?
Yeah. We didn't make the playoffs.
You guys make the playoffs now?
We'll touch base on our fantasy or our football prediction show here in the next few weeks after the Super Bowl. However, maybe you guessed it just 1 year too early. We'll see. Yeah, who knows?
Could be. That's what I was going to say. You maybe there's still a chance. And then with your out-of-the-box bold one here, you predicted that Jeff Bezos would be Iron Man in 2021 and have a metallic armored suit. Now, I will give you this.
I got close.
You kind of got close because he didn't do that.
It wasn't a suit.
But what did he do?
Yeah, I mean, he got into space.
He went into space.
Like, he's just an average Joe. Like, he paid his way into space. I don't know, like, whatever you want to call it.
I would say he's on his way to being Iron Man, right? That's another stepping stone.
Well, in my.
So, again, on these last two, maybe we're just a year early.
We might be just a little bit early. You know, he did have an iron, you know, item take him out to space. So, I mean, maybe every year he just gets it a little bit thinner and it just works to his body at some point.
Here you're considering the rocket that went up. That could be his suit.
Yeah, that was his iron suit to get him to space. So, we'll see. Maybe that's building the
terribly,
suit in space.
Amazingly, I would say you weren't terribly off.
Give me 10%. I'll take a 10%.
He did something that Iron Man would do. Let's put it that way.
Hey, you know, it is what it is. So that being said, let's get into 2022. We're excited about this year. Mm-hmm. Thank you to all the followers and listeners this last year that stuck with us and just heard what we were talking about. And we just want to continue to express that. We're excited about the market. We want to convey knowledge to you guys and just be a resource to your guys' business and to the consumer out there that wants to share and grow their knowledge in the industry, especially here in the Phoenix Metro. We're going to continue to talk a lot about the country as well as a hyper focus on our market like we did last year as this ever evolving, changing economy happens, especially in the real estate industry. So that being said, let's kick it off. Pete and I, we both have a couple locks. Mm-hmm. We'll go through them pretty quick. Pete, your first lock, let's hear it.
Yeah, so I wanted to put a little bit different take, especially after what happened last year. And, you know, still people wondering now, should they buy? What's going to happen with prices? Well, this might give you some insight into where my head's at and what we think is happening. My first lock for 2022 is that rental rates in Phoenix will rise more than home price appreciation this year. So for the whole Phoenix metro area, if we're taking the average, so I think, you know, the total this year for home price appreciation was about 32%, which is crazy. And the rental increase, I think, for the whole market this year was about 19 or 20%.
Which is still nuts.
My prediction is those will flip in 2022. Both of them are going to go up quite a bit, double digits.
Okay.
But I think that the increase in rental rates will be higher than the increase in home price appreciation this year.
So you think it surpasses 19%?
I don't know exactly what those rates will be. I just think it'll be higher than the
appreciation.
Yeah. And I would think if I had to guess, yeah, I would say there's a really good chance that we see rental rates that are up 20% or more. Absolutely.
I mean, that can stem from a lot of things.
25%, yeah, it could happen.
If affordability becomes threatened this year, which we'll see, let's see what that looks like. People may have to turn to renting a house because they can't buy one either based on competition or by affordability. And now that puts pressure on that market and investors are going to increase their rates.
You hit the nail on the head. So if rates go up and some people get priced out, like you said, with that affordability, they become renters. Right? So your only options are either you buy a house, you rent the house, or I suppose you can go live with your parents or friends or something like that. But those are your choices. So if you can't buy, you can't afford, if you're getting driven out, you got to go rent.
And that's what's crazy. And that's, you get driven out because you can't qualify for such. However, your rental payment may then again be higher than your mortgage payment.
Yeah,
so not only do you not get a lower payment by purchasing, like now you have to rent and pay more money. It's like a double hit to someone trying to afford to buy a house. So it'll be interesting to see what this market turns in that sense. My first one, and again, is pretty, in my mind, pretty balanced. Because if we believe this market, this trend is going to continue, I mean, I have a funny feeling you're going to throw us another lock that you did last year. I see Phoenix being one of the top three appreciating metropolitan markets in the country. This year, they've maintained top five, top 10 for the last decade over growth, as we've seen a lot of the growth in percentage wise, not necessarily price points, but but percentage wise. And Phoenix has always been one of the more affordable markets in the country. So that being said, still us sitting, I think last time we looked, we were in the We were the 10th spot of the top major metropolitan cities for affordability price points. Like we were right there.
I can't remember exactly where we were, but yeah, compared because, you know, everybody looks at how much the prices have gone up here, but you know, you got to look compared to what? I mean, compared to California or geez, at this point, Idaho and
Denver, know,
other places around here, you
Colorado,
know, Seattle,
Utah, like all these other places.
Still affordable compared to a big part of the West Coast. And so, yeah, relative to other places. Yes. Yeah, so, I could definitely see that.
So that's
top
kind of
three
my
again.
Absolutely. Top three appreciating metro market percentage wise, going into 2023.
Okay. All right. So let's go with my second lock here. I think this year in 2022, we will hit all-time low inventory again.
So
meaning a new all-time low. So we hit an all-time, so as long as we've been keeping records in Phoenix, we hit an all-time low in active inventory last year in 2021. Okay. I think we break that. I think we will go, and I think pretty quickly. Even lower. I think probably in the next 2 months here.
2 months.
We will hit.
Pete, I'm writing that down because I need some ammunition.
That's probably. But I think relatively quickly. But my lock is we're going to hit all-time low inventory again this year, lower than we did last year.
So what you're telling me is your lock again is there will not be a housing crash this year. Is that what you're telling me?
I think we can say that, yes.
That's a nicer way of putting it.
And think about it because of what we're talking about. There is no inventory. So everybody's so concerned about what if rates go up? What happens to the demand? The demand has never been or hasn't been over these last 2 years, hasn't been what's been driving it. It's the lack of supply, okay. And that's not changing.
So if home builders continue to skyrocket these permits like they have been, how long is this thing going to take to catch up? Because if they did 60,000 last year, I mean, they got to be on pace to maintaining at least that this year, if not maybe more.
We would hope, but we're running into supply chain stuff and everything that we've seen everywhere. So they're seeing their cost increasing. They're seeing permit delays. They're seeing material and labor delays. So even if they want to keep pushing that up, I think they're going to run up against some problems continuing to increase. So I don't know that they're going to be able to, increase it or even potentially maintain what they're doing. So, it's potentially several more years or at least a couple more years before we're looking at something balanced.
Okay. Well, that being said, that kind of carries into mine. And we talk about, affordability starting to change and things to start to shift. And it's inevitable that we're seeing inflation continue to rise like it always has been for as long as I've been alive and so forth. And so that being said, we hear a lot of rumors from the Fed and from, throughout the economy about rates continuing to increase. Like, why are we going to see this? Like, is things going to change to help balance inflation a little bit? So my bold prediction is that we're going to see my lock this year, my second one is that rates are going to go up at least, the sub rates are going to go up at least 0.75 point throughout this year at some point.
So
we are going to see it 0.75 point higher than it is today. So today, what were subs this morning?
We're sitting at about 3.9-ish on the 30-year.
Let's round up. Let's say they're four.
Four.
Okay. We're going to see 4.75.
On the 30-year.
On the 30-year at some point this year for sub.
Okay.
Which, keep in mind, look back at our previous bold predictions, 2.7%. Mm-hmm. You said sub 2 last year, and we hit 2.7, and we are now sitting near 4. Mm-hmm. So even from then, we've seen a significant rate hike.
Yeah.
Almost double. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, we've seen rates run here, especially recently, in the last month or so here with the Fed talking about raising rates. So yeah, no, I like that one, and it's interesting because here we go into the bold predictions, and I'll kick it off with my first bold prediction because it dovetails pretty well with your lock right there. And I think even though mine is kind of – it's different than yours, we can both be right on this.
Yeah.
And I think if I had to guess, we will both be right on this. So your lock was we're sitting at about 4% right now in the 30-year. Rounding, that will go up 0.75 point to 4.75. My bold prediction is that we will end the year with lower rates than what we have right now. Now, I will go one step further to say, I think we're both going to be right on this because I do think, I kind of think this is what's going to happen. We will continue to see rates rise here for a little while, and I think they will be higher than the 4% that we are now. I do, and I agree with you there. But I think at the end of the year, I don't think the Fed can go through with all the rate hikes that they're talking about. I think they're going to be forced to reverse course at some point, and I think that we'll end the year back under four.
So what, basically by saying that specific thing right here, you're seeing this little kind of like blip, you know, mm-hmm. go up and down, if you will, in the rate market, the bond market. So we're going to, if that happens, we are going to see a pretty good sizable refi push probably coming to the end of the next year. If we see it shift an entire point, mm-hmm. you know, and drop back to 3.5, and if it hits closer to 5, like there's a lot of purchasers that are going to be buying investment properties over the next 6 months, especially with appreciation. If we still see a 15 to 20% appreciation index, like,
yeah, and that's a good point, because one of the things people might bring up is, okay, well then should I wait till the end of the year? When rates come back down, if that's what we think is going to happen,
lose 15%+.
And that's what I was going to say. You can't. You've got to be in front of that, because think about this. Prices are not going to slow down. We still have no supply. And then what will happen when those rates come back down? Those price appreciation is going to accelerate.
Oh my gosh. We're going to see inventory have issues again.
And like, so this is why we're talking about some of these numbers. It's like, guys, when we eventually see these rates come back down, whenever they go back up, you know, at some point they'll be back down here again. We're going to see those prices tick up again. And so, you know, it's a precarious situation for some of those. And that's why I have the rental rates that are going to go up too. If you're sitting there wondering if this is going to be a time to buy, the prices are going to be higher at the end of the year than they are today.
Yeah,
I feel pretty confident saying that.
So that kind of tails into what we're looking at going through the next year and seeing these predictions. So last year I did extreme appreciation, bold predictions. Mm-hmm. This year I'm going to kind of shift it a little bit. I feel we have a lot of markets that grew massively and rapidly, especially some of our high price point markets, some of the luxury sides and some of those cities. So this year, I'm going to say we're going to have at least three cities that does not exceed 5% appreciation from January 1st to December 31st.
So they're going to appreciate 5% or less.
Less, yes.
Okay. I would say that's bold in light of inflation and potential rates coming back down.
Affordability issues potentially.
We are going to have affordability issues for sure. We're starting to run into that now. So, okay.
My thought is some of those luxury markets might take a little bit of a hit with the run-up of the lower markets continue to grow rapidly is my thought. And yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. It might just be getting too hefty up there and they get a little more inventory where we lose inventory in the lower markets.
Maybe either that, or you see the luxury markets keep going and you get some of those on, you know, some of the lower ends
It could go either way. My thought is we're going to see a couple cities maybe start to get a little crippled under the pressure is my thought. Just a few of them based on affordability becoming tougher and tougher this year.
So for my second bold prediction, I'm going to go off of your theme there of affordability, but which we've both been talking about. And what happens and what have we seen time and time again when we see cities that start having affordability issues or getting expensive? You can look back at things like San Francisco and LA and California and Seattle. People start pushing out further, right? They start going further into the suburbs. So those tend to be the places where we start to see that appreciation as people look for affordability out there. So my second bold prediction is that the city of Maricopa will see over 30% appreciation again this year.
Wow.
And I'm picking Maricopa because I think it is one of those kind of outlying areas a little bit, but it still has accessibility that's close enough to the city centers that I think you're going to continue to see migration go that way before they look at some of the ones that are even further out. And so I think we get over 30% there again in Maricopa.
And so those of you listeners that don't know necessarily a little bit of the background of Maricopa City, it's a 20 to 25 minute drive on a 2-lane road directly out of the city of Chandler and Phoenix, all the way to Maricopa with nothing in between. It's a 20-minute drive of nothing in between that city and Phoenix Metro. And so all the rest of Phoenix Metro is pretty much connected outside of maybe Gold Canyon and some of the real far out Southeast Valley. But it's pretty much all connected and touching.
For the most part, yeah.
Maricopa is that one awkward city that isn't connected, and yet people continue to migrate
and
there.
And it will be connected at some point, right? They're going to keep building.
Super bold prediction here. You think that's bold
that at some point it'll be connected?
All the Indian res and all that stuff that's out there, a lot of things would have to shift and move to make that connection happen.
I think we can have commercial and stuff is what I'm saying. Yeah. There's not going to be necessarily houses, but yeah, there'll be things that go up there eventually. And I have no prediction on how long that'll
take. 5 years, 10 years? Yeah. It very well could be the case. There's Correct. A lot of land out yeah. there extending below Chandler that we haven't even touched. Mm-hmm. And if this city continues to grow, they got to choose places to expand this thing. And let's choose wisely. So that being said, okay, 30% appreciation. You just took my 20% and raised it to 10. Is that what it is?
That's it.
Put some Double pressure down. On it. And on Maricopa. So I get it. If you see the East Valley continue to have strong pressure of affordability, where are they going to go?
People are still coming. They got to live somewhere.
Yep. I'm with you. Okay. My second bold prediction, again, kind of hits close to home. So I'm hoping it's not the crapshoot of my own city. But those of you guys know, I push Airbnbs a lot. I think they're in a great investment right now. I think the market's awesome for them. I think as long as people are not scared of travel, and we went, in my mind, seeing COVID happen and Airbnbs continue to thrive in a scared pandemic market.
Oh, I think people were driven that way. Right?
Now you're starting to see people. Yeah, you see them drive that way for travel. However, people are still traveling mm-hmm. during a pandemic. They want to leave. Yeah. They want to travel. So that just, you know, gains me more excitement in the future of what this market looks like for the travel. People are starting to value it more than they ever have, I think. When they're told they can't do something, people sometimes want to just do that exact thing. So my prediction, though, because of the increase of travel and Airbnbs in our marketplace, my bold prediction is that one city is going to completely restrict/remove short-term rentals of less than 1 month. I don't know what city that's going to be, but I have a funny feeling one of these cities is going to try and lay the hammer down on short-term rentals in their market.
I think that's really interesting because this is definitely a battle right now. Now, on the one hand, you certainly are getting a lot of pressure from full-time residents in some of these cities. And certainly we already see HOAs that are restricting it, but nothing, you know, on a city level. But there is more pressure coming. However, kind of what you just said too, on the other side is more and more people are using them. More and more people are becoming short-term rental owners. Mm-hmm. And so now you're getting a bigger cohort on that side that's going to push against it.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see this battle. I do think that's an interesting one that certainly could happen. But to me, it's one of the more interesting things and unknown things in all of the markets across, you know, these major metro areas that are dealing with this, because this is something that's going to come to head in the next couple of years.
Yeah. And right now, the biggest restrictions are coming from HOA communities.
Yep.
So when a city does it, they're trying to put a ban on non-HOA communities and seeing areas that have never had those restrictions before. But again, a lot of the economy in Phoenix, there's a lot of stuff where a lot of travel comes here. A lot of snowbirds come here. A lot of people migrate here for months out of the year. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking they're going to try and get rid of the 1 weekers, the 3 dayers, not the monthlies.
Yeah, it could happen. I mean, I certainly think that rules, regulations, potential restrictions,
tax rates,
taxes, like yeah, all of those things are coming. I think they're coming in a lot of areas around the country around it. Now, whether, you know, banned in a city, hey, that's a bold prediction. It could happen. But yeah, we'll Not see. That's going to be an interesting one.
My thought is super short terms. Maybe they do something less than a week even, yeah. But my bold is less than a month somewhere. Somehow.
So that's what we're looking at for the market in 2022 as far as real estate goes, guys. So I think, you know, we're probably looking at, you know, some higher rates. I think both of us are thinking some higher rates, but still a pretty good year overall for the market here in Phoenix. Remember, it's all local. There's not one national market. So you're certainly going to see, I think this year, cities that are going to go have decreases. I don't think we're going to see that in Phoenix. People still coming. We have an incredibly low supply. So I think that's what we're looking at for 2022. But let's end this show with a couple of our fun predictions, just one each for us, right? So I'll go first. My Jets.
Oh God.
I ended the season with a little bit of hope here for the first time in some years. And in 2022 season, this next year, we're making the playoffs.
You sure you don't want to start with like a we're not gonna have a top 10
We're
pick
going
this
to
year?
The playoffs. Goodness next year.
Gracious.
That's it.
Going to the playoffs.
Yeah. More than the Seahawks.
They're gonna break an era. Oh my goodness. So That's great. Okay. I'd be very interested. That's bold. It's, I mean, very bold, but hey, how long has it been? Since 2009?
Mark Sanchez? No, 2010.
2010. Close. Yeah. Okay. 12 years.
Yeah.
It's been tough. It's
been a few years.
Not as bad as the Seattle Mariners stretch, but hey.
It's been a few years.
We'll see. My bold prediction, which I think may be a little bolder for my own comfort now that I'm really looking at what that is I think next year, 2022-23 season, not this year, playoffs are still going right now, a rookie quarterback is going to lead their team to a Super Bowl appearance.
Appearance.
Okay. All right. Okay. They might not win it. I think they could, but I think a rookie QB coming into the league, we're seeing more and more rookies into the year. Every year we're seeing more and more rookies start. And I think a rookie QB will show an appearance in the Super Bowl 2022-23 season.
That's an interesting, that's a bold prediction. Now, I don't know if a rookie quarterback has ever made the Super Bowl. I do know
they have not won.
A rookie quarterback has never won the Super Bowl. So
that's my double down.
Yeah, that's interesting.
My double down.
It'd be interesting. It could happen. Like you said, hey, they're throwing them out there, right? You're getting those top picks, top QBs, they throw them out there. Hey, Mac Jones had a shot this year, right?
My Super Bowl picks for our previous show that we'll get into here in a few weeks, they're still alive. We're going good. So awesome, guys. Thanks for checking in with us on our prediction show. We're super excited about 2022. Follow us on all our social media platforms on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. We love the follows as well as continue to collaborate with all of you coming this year. And again, send your questions to questions@kpeliteaz.com. And we'd love to tackle some cool topics this year.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Next time.